Good morning, Westgate Chapel. Please stand and worship with us this morning. Break into the wild and don't be afraid. And run into wide open spaces, graces waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted, graces waiting. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is freedom. Come out of the dark, just as you are, into the fullness of His love. For the Spirit is here, let there be freedom, let there be graces waiting for you. Dance like the weight has been lifted. Graces waiting. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Come out of the dark, just as you are. Shake at the sound of Jesus' name. Lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name. Chains will fall, prisons shake at the sound of Jesus' name. Lives made whole, hearts awake at the sound of Jesus' name.
Family, thanks
Good
for
morning.
Being here with us today.
Good morning.
Wow, this is great. So my name is Michaela Ragland. I work here in the student ministry. So shout out to any of my middle schoolers or high schoolers in here.
Woo!
Also, a special welcome to those of you who are joining us on live stream, or this is your first time with us. We're so happy to have you. As you are walking in just outside in the lobby, there are connection cards and sermon notes. We would love it if you could fill those out. For the connection cards, if you're new, you can turn those into our guest center. That way we can meet you, pray with you, answer any questions you might have. If you're a regular attender, we have receptacles at the back of the church. Also then, if you are joining us with the live stream, if you go to westgatechapel.org/livestream, you'll find links to both the connection card and sermon notes there. And now I'd like to invite up Julianne Judge. She is our Outreach and Missions Director.
Hey!
Hi! Julianne, at end of November here, we have International Friends Thanksgiving. Could you tell us a little bit more about why we do that and how we can get connected?
Yeah, so 12 years ago, in 2008, Westgate started hosting this annual event. So our 12th annual iFriends Thanksgiving dinner is coming up in 2 weeks. And what this event is all about is that one of the awesome parts of Toledo, Ohio, is all the people that come here from all around the world, international students at the university, immigrants, refugees, and we, as the church, get to be welcomers. That is something that Westgate Chapel values. We love inviting people in so they're not isolated or stuck in these pockets with people just similar to them. We want to say welcome to our town, welcome to our family. And so Thanksgiving is a great reason to celebrate an American holiday, which they're curious about, all the food and fixins and all of that, as well as we just have an opportunity to say what we're super thankful for, which is we're thankful that they're here, we're thankful that we can have relationships with them, and then we're thankful for Jesus. And so we love this event. It has just been really cool to watch it grow. And this year it's going to look a little different. We're going to make sure that we do it safely. We're going to just keep our distance. And then instead of the big party like you saw in those pictures, we are going to break out into rooms. And so you would host a room. We're going to ask people to host a meal. We will make all the food. Our team is awesome, donations, etc. But then you get to host a room for the night, and you'll get a group of students. And we're still looking for about 8 more room hosts. And so the idea is you just set your table and find some friends, maybe your life group or family, and just lean into those relationships that night. And so everything, we're kind of pulling everything together because the event's in 2 weeks. And so we'd love for you to pray and sign up today so that we can set everything in motion. And so westgatechapel.org /events has the sign up for food donations and hosting. And I'm also going to be at the table if you want to talk and ask any more questions. And so that is something really exciting, and we're hoping you guys will join in prayer and in the fun.
Great, thanks. We also have the opportunity for the Perspectives class, so can you share with us a little bit more of the details on that?
Yeah, so in Outreach and Missions, we got all of our serving, which iFriends Thanksgiving is all about serving others with God's love. And this class, Perspectives on the World Christian Movement, is all about us learning in a posture of just understanding, studying through the class format and through listening to stories of what God's doing all around the world, just to the big perspective of God's story since the beginning of time to the end of time, and how we get to be a part of it. So it's all about God. It's all about the Bible, the history of the church. There's cultural information and then strategies on how to reach people with the gospel. And just it's a really powerful tool. And this course is 15 weeks, and we're starting it in January. And there's a cost to it. And the reason that is there is because we hire 15 instructors, 15 people that are out in ministry serving with different organizations, different places of the world. Some will be local, some will be traveling in to teach each Tuesday night. And so it's kind of a commitment. It's an investment in this course, but also it's worth it. And it's a great discipleship tool. It has changed my life and the way I see God and people and my role in it. And so if you guys want to know more about that, we have westgatechapel.org/perspectives. And that will take you to the big public site, because this course is for everybody, any adult that wants to grow in their understanding of God's story. But I do want to make it known that Westgate wants to pour into our people, right? We believe in you guys. We're the people were building the church. And so there's scholarships available, and we want it to cost no more than $100 per person. And so we're going to pay some of the cost if you're a Westgate person. So you can invite your friends from wherever to come join us, but know that that's something that I can help make sure that you can come. So that's Perspectives. Again, registration is open now, and the class starts in January on Tuesday evenings.
Great, thanks. Church family, will you join me in prayer as we continue with worship? Dear God, thank you for this church family and the opportunity to gather together, whether it be in person or online. Father, I ask that today you would open our hearts to what it is you're trying to say to us. And Lord, help give us strength to be brave enough to take it outside these walls and into our communities, to the friends and family around us, God. We thank you for who you are and your love for us. Amen.
Our God is King. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Is great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour. Whatever goes on in this world, he is on his throne. Amen. That is worth celebrating, church. If you believe this to be true, sing it out.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
Come on.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath. It's your breath. In our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Yes, great are you, Lord. Let me hear you. Let me hear you. Sing that out. Great are you, Lord. Yes, great are you, Lord. Sing that chorus again. It's your breath. It's your breath. Sing it again. It's your praise in our lives. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your praise in our lives. So we pour out our praise to you only. Yes, Lord.
The king of my heart, be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, so good. Oh, you are good. Let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. 'Cause you are.
We know this. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down.
You're faithful, God.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna. Come on.
You're never gonna let me down.
good. You're good.
So good.
Oh,
all the time.
You are good.
So good.
So good.
So good.
Oh, you are good. You're good to us. Oh.
Amen. Amen.
God, in your word, it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is, which was, and which is to come. And to that, Lord, we know, we cling, we hope. Yes, God, you are everlasting. You are never changing. You are the constant. Lord, I pray this morning that our eyes are firmly fixed on that. We rely on what we know and that we know. Father, we're so grateful. We're grateful for your goodness. You are good and you do good. Thank you, God. In your powerful, mighty name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. If we haven't met, my name is Mike Judge. I'm one of the pastors here at Westgate, and I get the honor of preaching with for you guys this morning. Pastor Rob's been out this week celebrating his 20th wedding anniversary with his wife, Rochelle, which is just so cool. So we've got to love that. And I get the privilege of sharing the word this morning. And I just want to start off my message by saying, wow, has it been a big week? Hasn't it? I mean, I imagine that there are a lot of people who, like myself, in some ways even feel a little bit exhausted coming to the end of it. But it also makes me glad that we are gathered here together and online to meet together as a church on today. And so, you guys, I'm looking forward to talking and sharing this morning. And on the note of even the election is something that's been just really impacting all of our lives, I want to share with you guys a story that I heard from a well-known pastor named Andy Stanley. I know most of you guys, or some of you guys have certainly heard of Andy. He was sharing a story from not this election, but the previous election in 2016. And he told a story about that Sunday at his church service. And normally on election, the Sunday following the election is Andy's kind of pattern, like many pastors, to not really talk about the election at all, to not really bring up that topic and just kind of have service as normal. And he didn't really think much of it. He just did that. And he didn't think much of it until he ended service and he got into his car and he hopped on social media and he got on his page and he saw that somebody from his post his church had posted on the internet. And here's the post that this woman from his congregation had shared. She said, I came to church this morning looking for reassurance. I'm scared. No one mentioned the election. I feel abandoned by my church. And then he shared that this was an important moment for him. This was an important moment for him to just take a second and realize just, first of all, the range of emotions that his congregation was feeling in the midst of that, right? Well, most of his church, he shared, had been really excited and were excited about what happened in the 2016 election. The reality was is that there in his congregation was a whole slew of voices with a whole bunch of different perspectives and a whole bunch of different emotions that they were experiencing in the midst of that. And with that, he also just got to see what the people were looking for the church to provide on a Sunday such as this. And so for us at Westgate Chapel, we wanted to take a Sunday just to respond and just to feel. Because I think for many of us, as many as there was emotions 4 years ago with the election that took place then, I think that there's probably more emotions for many people today in this room in light of what's going on in the current election and what has taken place so far. And so we're going to take some time to address that. And so this is going to be a special service. It's going to be special in two different ways. First of all is the topic. The topic that you guys saw is on your sermon notes, if you have those, is three ways we should respond to 2020 and the election. And we're going to talk about both of those because let's just be honest, 2020 has been rough. Guys, we've wrestled with the pandemic. We've wrestled with social justice, we've wrestled with wildfires, politics, we've wrestled with so much this year. And it's been a year that in many ways has highlighted the brokenness of humanity, how we treat each other, the sobering reality that our bodies can't handle everything, the ongoing sin issues that just remain in the world around us. You guys, there's so many things. And on top of that, it feels like it's come to a climax in the last few weeks with the presidential election that has been shaking our country, that is causing people to wrestle internally and in their communities. And so as a church, we're going to take some time to respond today. But before anybody walks out, I want to say one thing, because I imagine there's some people that are feeling like, man, Mike, I'm just done with politics right now. I've heard a lot this week. I want you to know right now that nothing I say in this sermon is going to be political. And everything that I say is going to be about the Bible. We're not going to talk policies. We're not going to talk names. We're not going to talk candidates. We're going to talk about God and God's word. You know, sometimes people say, Mike, you use a lot of Bible in your preaching. And yeah, I do. I do sometimes. And today I'm going to do the same thing. And you want to know why, church? It's because when we face the challenging realities to the world around us, the first place we should be running to is God and to his word. And so I think that that's something that I'm pretty excited about this morning. Is anybody else excited about studying God's word today? Love that enthusiasm. Thank you, guys. And so we're going to do that. And we're going to do that in a unique structure, three ways to respond. We're going to actually go through this in three parts, so to speak. And we're going to respond to each one with prayer, with worship, et cetera, as we go. So going to be a good service. I'm excited to just come and talk and meet with the Lord and study his word together. So let's dive into it. Number one, first way we should respond to 2020 and the election is that we need to remember who the king is. We need to remember who the king is. When everything is going haywire, we need to remember who ultimately reigns. And his name doesn't start with senator or emperor or president. His name is Jesus Christ. And he is immeasurably better than all of those people combined. And you guys don't have to take my word for it. You can take the Apostle Paul's. Let's read Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. Here's what he says. He says, therefore, God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's worth celebrating. Jesus, King Jesus, is the one who reigns, and every knee will bow to him. He is ultimate. He is supreme. He is the only one worthy of that, and he is the one we should follow, King Jesus. I love this quote by Tony Evans. As we think about this world that we're in this divided society that we see around us, here's what Tony Evans said. He said this a while ago, but I think it applies here. He says, Jesus didn't come to take sides. He came to take over. You guys, Jesus didn't leave his throne in heaven and come to earth to support a political party. He came to reign. He came to be the king that the entire universe needs. And church, we need to remember that, because sometimes I think, especially in seasons like this, that we can get our perspectives out of order. Sometimes we can get confused. The Bible says that our citizenship, our true citizenship, is not in this world, it's in heaven. It's in the kingdom of God. That's where our real identity is. That's the society that we're going to be a part of if you believe in Jesus Christ for all of eternity. It's not the United States of America. It's the kingdom of God. And so when we respond to the world around us, we need to respond in light of who our king is, and we need to respond with the values that reflect that kingdom that we're truly a part of. And that's going to be the second part of our message today. But before we get there, I think just want to keep on commenting on this, that many people over the last few months have been struggling with looking at the world first as a Republican or as a Democrat or as fill in the blank, whatever word that you guys we ever might want to choose to describe ourselves, looking at the world first with that perspective and second as a citizen of the kingdom of God. And when we allow our earthly perspectives to begin to overtake our eternal perspectives, difficult things happen. We can become overcome with fear because the situation didn't go the way that our political party was hoping. Just like the woman whose story I shared earlier. Maybe you guys have been having some what if questions pop in your heads lately. We can let those things come and just start plaguing our minds. We can be overrun with anger and anxiety and 1,000 other emotions. And the reality is that list of all the things that you might be feeling right now are directly tied to who is on the thrones in our lives, who we perceive to be in control. Those responses are directly tied to whether we're looking at the world primarily with a political filter or with a human filter, or some other human filter, or if we're looking at the world through our faith filter. And in times like this, we can't forget who our King really is. And so I thought one of the most helpful things that we could do this morning is to just take a second to remember. And my dream as I was thinking about my sermon is that I could just like walk through the whole Bible and hit all the stories about who our King is time and time again. But I realized that would take us like, you know, till next week. And we didn't have time for that this morning. And so I thought I would just bring a highlight reel of who God is, some things we have seen in Scripture that are true for us today, because our King has never changed. Our God created the very world that we live in. You guys, He is the Lord of the universe. He is the author of the stories that we are living out today. He has always stood by His people, even when things look grim. He freed people, His people, from slavery and from oppression time and time again. He has never abandoned us. He guided His people when they didn't know which way to go. He has overseen thousands of leadership transitions. He has made rulers rise and rulers fall. When walls stood in the way, like at Jericho or with prison cells, those things didn't stop Him. He tore those walls down every single time. When thousands of people had need for food, whether in the desert, the Israelites, or whether when Jesus was preaching, guess what He did? He miraculously made food because He took care of the needs of His people. When there was fighting and bickering amongst the people, He found a way to help bring His people together. You guys, we could go on and on. We have to remember these things because our God has not changed. And of all the things that we can remember, the most important thing is that our King Jesus made a way for all humanity to be saved by coming to earth in the form of a man and paying the price for our sins on the cross. And Scripture says He is coming back again one day soon and that He will reign eternally. There's only one King on the ultimate throne. There's only one King that upholds the universe, and it's God. It's Jesus Christ. And so in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of this election season, in the midst of all the brokenness in this world, we need to remember who the King is, who our King is, the greatest King, the King that loves us more than we know, who is stronger than anything else, and who we can trust with every fiber of our being. And so I want us to take some time to respond to that truth together in prayer. And you guys, prayer is so important. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a pastor and because I'm supposed to say that. I'm saying it because it's real. Just this last week, I was dealing with some stress in my life, some mounting stress. And honestly, it was starting to get the best of me. Did anybody else experience some stress this week? Yeah. And I hit a bit of a climax with all that stress on Friday. And I wasn't doing very well. But rather than shoving those emotions aside as I had been doing for a couple of days, I said, you know what, I'm going to take some time to process these. And so I walked through those individual pieces that were stressing me out, and I took those one at a time, and I came before God, and I took time to remember the truth about who my God is and how He has met me in my life over my lifetime, and how He is the power and the authority and the love to oversee and to deal with these things. And in my heart of hearts, I handed those concerns over to King Jesus, and I trusted Him to take care of them. And I found rest in the fact that the Lord of Lords was watching over me. It's probably the most important moment in my entire week. And God showed up in big ways. And so I don't know where you guys are at today. Some of you guys might be feeling pretty good. You might be feeling pretty positive, pretty excited about things, excited about life, excited about what's going on. But I imagine there's also some other people on the other side who are feeling worried, who are feeling concerned. Wherever you are today, whatever end of the spectrum, what I do know is that it's good for us to take time to come before King Jesus in a time of prayer. And so I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to get down on my knees as we talk about King Jesus in a way of reverence to our King. And I'll take some time to pray. And if you feel so led, you can come down on your knees too. But I just want to take a moment as a church family this morning to pray and to hand our lives and things going on in our hearts to King Jesus. Father God, You rule and You reign. You created the universe and You are good and You have made so many good things that we're celebrating, Father. But we know right now in the midst of this world, in the midst of what's going on, that there is a lot of junk taking place. There's a lot of things that are stressing people out. There's a lot of things happening, whether it's the pandemic, whether it's other things taking place in society. There is so much, and we can't handle that on our own. We know that we need you, the only person who can handle it, King Jesus, to take that and to be in control of that, Lord. Some of us are so tired, God, of trying to deal with this stuff in our own strength, God. And right now, I just want to take a moment as a church family just to say, God, here's this for you. We're going to trust you. We're going to follow you. In the midst of this, Lord, you're the one who holds us strong. We're going to find refuge in you. And so, God, take this. Carry our burdens. Be the King of Kings that guided us all these years, all this time, Lord. We come and we trust in you. Your name we pray. Amen. Can't stop praying, church. And so I want to switch gears right now. And I want to talk about the second thing that we need to remember as we respond to the 2020 election. And number two was accidentally skipped on your sermon notes. So if you guys are taking notes today, you can just fill this in, write this in. But number two is that we need to love unconditionally, even when we disagree politically. I imagine that most people in the room have heard of unconditional love. It's this idea that you love someone regardless of what they do, regardless of what they say, regardless of their act, regardless of anything, right? That's the unconditional love part of it. And we know from countless verses in the Bible that God has called his followers to love. And just like God loves us, we too are supposed to love others. Even when people are mean, even when they don't deserve it, that's the whole point of unconditional love. And for many people, this has proven to be pretty challenging in this season of life. Because as I already said, 2020 has been tough. And when we experience hard things in our life, loving other people is not always so easy. Can we just agree? Can we just admit that? When we're experiencing hard days, when things aren't going well for us, sometimes we can just not be the most kind people to others. I think we can all confess that this morning. But here's the deal. The circumstances that we're facing don't change the way that God wants us to treat others. He still wants us to act lovingly. And I heard someone talking about the election a couple weeks ago in a way that was really helpful for me. And here's kind of the way he phrased it. This is kind of the truth that I want to share with you guys. He said, your candidate won or lost based on what happened this week. The church wins and loses based on how we respond. Yes, you guys, we know that Jesus ultimately wins. But right now, with all the junk that has come with 2020 and with all the feuding over the election, this is a big opportunity for the church. And we have an opportunity in two different ways. First is to be part of the positive influence in this world, to love others well, to bring God's goodness into the spaces around us, to make God's name great, and to help move people towards Jesus Christ. That's opportunity one. And some of you guys have been embracing that opportunity. Opportunity two is we have the opportunity to be a part of the toxicity by being disrespectful and unkind to others, either in person or on the internet, by not loving others the way that Jesus has loved us, by taking our anger out on others. Whatever it is, when we do those things, we are embracing our opportunity to tarnish the name of Jesus and push people away from God with our actions. You guys, that's the wins and the losses that I'm talking about. And some of us have been doing a lot of winning or a lot of losing the last few months based on the way you've been saying and treating others. You know, I got on the internet last week and I read an article from a scholar, a well-known scholar in Christianity Today. And he just shared his thoughts about who he was voting for and why he was voting that way. And I was really impressed because he said it very respectfully. He said it just, this is where I feel, this is how I feel, very respectful of people with disagreeing ideas and values. And I was really encouraged by that. But what I wasn't really encouraged by was the comment section at the end of his article that he had posted. And what I read sickened me. Because I saw people proclaiming and professing to be Christians who had said things like, why don't you go die? And cursing him out in a public platform on the internet. And my heart just dropped because this is the church. This is the way that we're treating each other right now. This is crazy to me. Why are we doing this? You guys have all seen posts, people say things, comments people have made, things they've said underneath their breath. Whatever it is, you guys have seen this taking place, I imagine, in the world around us today. That's our culture right now. And our candidate won or lost based on what happened, but the church wins and loses based on how we respond. You guys, we can't stop loving others. And one of the first steps that we all need to take, if you haven't already, is to actually try to understand the people who have a different perspective than we do. We've all heard people say things like, people must be crazy to vote for fill in the blank, person, policy, whatever. Or you'd have to be blind not to see fill in the blank this way. I just saw that on Facebook last night. Or worse things that people have said that I don't even want to say because we don't need to bring those unwholesome things into the sanctuary this morning. And I just also want to say right now that people with different beliefs than you aren't crazy, they just have a different perspective. You guys, we need to understand that the perspectives that people have make complete sense to them based on their experiences and their worldviews. You guys, everybody has a story. Everybody has an upbringing. They had a family who raised them and taught them things. Everybody has all parts of their background, their skin color, their heritage, everything about that that has led them, just like it has led you, to where you are today and the things that you believe. Just because they've gotten to a different place maybe than some of us where we are today or whatever that is, just because people are different than us, doesn't make them crazy. It makes them people. And we need to treat them like people. They have been made in the image and likeness of God just like we have. And God doesn't love them any more or any less than the way that he loves us. He loves everyone of every political background the same. And you know how I know this? Because of Jesus. Because the God of the universe became flesh and took the form of a man and lived in a broken earth for 30 years. And who did Jesus spend time with on earth? Religious people, sinful people, righteous people, people with different colored skin, people with different nationalities, people who followed Caesar, people who followed God, people with entirely different perspectives on life, people with entirely different political views. He spent time with everyone. He loved everyone. And guess what, church? He loved them all so much that he died on the cross for them and for all of their sins, just like he died for each of us. And our responsibility as Christians is to show the world, people with all sorts of different perspectives and backgrounds, the same love that Christ showed us. Our responsibility is to do that. And part of that means being able to love unconditionally, even when we disagree politically. So how do we do this? Let's get some advice from Jesus' brother, James. If you guys haven't read James's book in the New Testament, you guys, this is the right time to read James. Let me just encourage you this week to go study the book of James. There's so much applicable stuff to our world today. And we're going to look at James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And James is writing just some guidance about what does good conduct look like? How should we be acting? How should we treat other people? And so let's look at that together. James chapter 3, verse 13. He starts off, he says, who is wise and understanding among you? Wise and understanding. You guys, that's the image that we should be striving for. That's the goal. He says, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. What does someone who's wise and understanding look like? Well, it looks like someone who does good things, but not arrogantly, not selfishly, but weakly or meekly. And what is meek? Mean? What does that look like? If you don't know, it's James is basically saying our actions should be done in humility and in submission to God. And I hope that's a gut check for us this morning about how we're acting, because we need to be able to say, am I living with humility and with submission to God at all times? He keeps on going. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, let's just pause there. Bitter jealousy, selfish ambition. Does that sound familiar as we look at the world around us? If we turn on the news, does that look familiar? I think so. It says, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Where do these things come from? Not from above, not from God, but from sin and from Satan. And he goes on to share what they cause. He says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Some of that sounds familiar right now. And this next section is my favorite. James is going to kind of flip this picture around. He's going to say, how do we not do that? What does it look like to act with wisdom, with understanding? How does it look for us to live righteously in this world around us? And he's going to give us a description. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You guys, verse 18 is the goal. A harvest of righteousness. Doesn't that sound good right now? I mean, I just think about that. I'm like, yes, that's what I want today. People honoring God with their lives. People seeing God's goodness in other people and desiring to honor God themselves. People putting their faith and trust in Jesus. Everything that is good, right? Harvest of righteousness. And he says, well, where does this harvest come from? James says it's sown in peace by those who make peace. It comes from people who prioritize making peace. One of the things that I noticed on the news yesterday was that a number of networks were talking about this idea that our nation needs to heal from all this division. And I appreciated that. I appreciated that message, that we can't keep fighting each other anymore. And they're right. Guys, we have to figure out how to live peaceably and to respect each other, even when we disagree on things. And the thought that came to my mind that I want to share with you all this morning is that the people who are leading this movement of healing and of peace in this nation should be the Christians, should be the followers of Jesus. We should be the ones who are helping to bring people together. We should be the ones who are promoting a culture of love and respect, even when there is a difference of opinion. We should be the ones, to use James's words, that should be sowing peace into the world around us. And to be clear, I'm not saying that we should ever compromise on our Christian values. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that we should be doing is encouraging our communities towards loving and treating each other like people who have been made in the image and likeness of God. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So how do we do this? Let's take one more look at verse 17, where James lists that set of qualities that describe people who are wise. And as we go through this list, what I want to do this time is I want to use this as a self-assessment, as a tool to evaluate how we're doing at living with godly character in our own lives. Verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure. Church, have you taken time lately to consider how your hearts are? Could you use the word pure to describe them? What about your actions? What about the things that you're saying and the things that you're doing? Do you have a pure and a righteous intent? Or do we sometimes drift? James goes on. Then, peaceable. Are we saying and doing things that are bringing people together? Or are we saying and doing things that are pushing people apart? Gentle. Are we being sensitive to other people? Are we trying to understand where they are at? Are we considering the difficult road that we've all been walking and having grace with others because of it? Or are we bulldozing our way through them? Got some tough stories that come to mind of just how I've seen people bulldozing lately. Open to reason. Are we so set in our thoughts in ways that we can't hear other reasonable voices around us? Are we closed off to the truth that other people or even God might be trying to speak to us? Guys, we have to be open-minded to truth. Full of mercy. Are we having compassion for those around us? Do we assume the best in other people when they say and do things that might rub us the wrong way? Are we quick to have mercy or are we quick to judge? Full of good fruits. Is there evidence of your faith in God and your love for others, right? Is there an impact that's taking place in the lives of other people around you or in your own life that's coming through as you serve him? It's a good question for us to consider. Impartial, it's similar to open to reason. So we'll just jump to the last one, which James says is to be sincere. Are we people who show genuine care and compassion to others through our words and our actions? You guys, the people that are around you in your circles should have no doubt that you care for them. And I don't know if that's something that everybody can say today. And so that's the list. And I don't know about you, but as I walk through it, I can see that I definitely have some more work to do personally on some of those issues. I'm just being transparent with you guys. But what I really hope is that this exercise is just a starting point for us in thinking about the way that we are living our lives, because it's our job today, especially with everything else in the world going on around us, to start figuring this out, to take loving others seriously, and to really assess how we're doing with honoring God with our lives. Because here's the reality, and you guys, this is so important, please catch this. The unbelievers in the world today don't get to see Jesus walking around in the flesh. They don't get to see him teaching. They don't get to see him loving others. They don't get to see him doing that ministry that we read about in the scriptures. They don't get to see it. But you know who they do get to see? It's you. It's you, and it's me. Every person who is a follower of Christ and whom God has given the Holy Spirit is one of his ambassadors. And what that means is that you have been chosen by God to be Christ's representative to the world. And that's crazy. And that blows my mind. Because I know that I'm so broken. And I know I have so many issues. But for whatever reason, God has said, Mike Judge, and fill in the name, blank with your name, I've chosen you to be my representative. And so it's my job to step up to that call. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 20 says, in all of this life, and Paul's talking about new life with God, all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him, bringing people to him. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. This doesn't happen by accident. This doesn't happen by us doing nothing. This happens when the church of God stands up and makes a decision to be Jesus to the world around them. I heard a quote a couple months ago in a book I was reading, and it totally floored me. It really struck me hard. Here's what it said. Your life bears a message of hope and redemption. But before people in your world encounter your message, they encounter you. They encounter you. And so here is my challenge for us right now. Here is the question that I want us all to ask ourselves. When people encounter you, what kind of impact are you having on them? Are you helping to bring people towards Jesus by living with godly character and loving them unconditionally? Or are there things that you are saying or that you're doing that might be pushing them away? Are we sowing peace or are we sowing division? I want to take a time right now, the band will come join me in a minute, to just take some personal time to respond. We're going to sing Be Thou My Vision. It's a great song. And just tied to the theme of the song, I want us just to be responding and asking ourselves, is God the vision in our lives? Is God the vision in our hearts? Is he the thing that we're looking through, the filter that we see the world with? Or maybe we've gotten it out of order. Maybe we're looking at things with a human perspective, selfish perspective. I want us to ask God if there's things that he's asking us to do in this unique season, ways that we're supposed to be loving others, things that we need to grow on. And I want us to consider the reality that there might be some things in our lives that God wants to weed out, some character issues that he wants to pull out so that we might be good representatives to him. And so I'm going to pray, and we're going to come back for part three after that. But let me open this up in prayer. Father God, we just invite you into this time. In this time where we need you, Lord, and the reality is that this job of being an ambassador is beyond each of us, God. But it is the job that you have called us to, and your word says that you will empower us to do your work. And so, God, I have faith. I have faith that as we come as humble people with meekness and come before you, God, that you will speak into us and you will mold us into the men and women of God that you have called us to be, that we might be representatives of you in this world, God. And so right now, I just pray in my heart and in our hearts right now that you would come in and that you would highlight any issues that are standing in our way from being the people that you want us to be, the people who will help sow peace into this world, the people who will help bring people towards Jesus. Because this is the most important thing in life and our world needs it. So God, join us in this moment. Help us meet with you and let you be our vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best.
Takeaway that I want to share with you all this morning, the way that we need to respond is that we need to embrace our call. We need to embrace our call. For me, the biggest takeaway from all of 2020 isn't about politics. It doesn't have anything to do with public safety measures. It doesn't have anything to do with celebrities or with current events. It's bigger than those things. For me, the biggest takeaway of 2020 is that the world needs Jesus. And it is our job to represent Jesus to the world right now. And I can't help but wonder what would happen if the church all around the world stood up and loved boldly and rallied around Christ and his love and shared that love and hope with others in big and beautiful ways in this tumultuous season. What would happen if our first focus was on loving others unconditionally with our words and with what we do? I want to share with you one more passage this morning. It's from the book of Esther. And if you don't know the story of Esther, Esther is a young Jewish woman. The Jewish people are God's chosen people. And she was chosen by the king of Persia to be his queen. However, Esther's Jewish heritage isn't known by the king or anyone else, right? It's a secret. No one knows she's a Jew except for her cousin Mordecai, who had helped raise her. And so some time passes, and one of the Persian king's key governing leaders comes up with this evil scheme to manipulate the king to have all the Jewish people killed in their land without really knowing what he was doing, so the scripture seems. Well, Mordecai, Esther's cousin, hears about this plot and sends a message to Esther, encouraging her to use her unique role as queen that God had given her to try to appeal to the king to change his plans, to save her people's lives. And as we read in the text, Esther gets scared because she knows that if she stands up to the king and she makes this appeal, that she could have her killed. She could die. And what I want to read to you guys this morning is Mordecai's response back to Esther in the midst of her fear, in the midst of this big moment. Mordecai told the messenger to reply to Esther, "Don't think that you will escape the fate of all the Jews because you are in the king's palace," right? He's saying that there's going to be consequences for Esther no matter what happens, even though she's queen. Verse 14, if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will come to the Jewish people from another place. Here we have this picture of Mordecai having so much faith in God. He says, Esther, no matter what you do, whether you say something, whether you don't say something, God's still in control and he's going to figure this out. He's got trust with him in him. And then he comes with one final sentence, which is the sentence, the reason I picked this whole passage for you guys this morning. Here's what he says. Who knows? Perhaps you come to your royal position for such a time as this. For such a time as this. Mordecai is challenging Esther to consider the idea that maybe it was God's plan for her to be queen at this precise moment of history. Maybe God saw this coming, and so he arranged for a Jewish woman to win the king's favor and to be chosen as queen so that she could have a unique place of power and influence in his life. Maybe God's plan all along was for Esther to stand up in this moment and risk her life and convince the king to shut down this evil plan. Maybe she was placed in her royal position for such a time as this. Church, I don't believe that God makes mistakes. No, I believe that Esther's position and her influence were exactly what God had in mind. And thankfully, so did Esther. The story concludes that she stands up, she's bold, she shares to the king what's going on, and he receives it and he responds to it, and he shuts down the plan, he puts the governor to punishment, and the people are saved. As I think about the way that Mordecai challenged Esther in this pivotal moment, I can't help think that sometimes we need people who love us to tell us hard things. Sometimes we need people around us to remind us what our lives need to be focused on, that we need to take a risk, that we need to serve Jesus boldly. And you guys, just like Mordecai spoke some hard words to Esther, I want to speak some hard words to us this morning. Because right now, I believe we need to consider the possibility that God has placed us in each of our circles of influence for such a time as this. You guys, there's so much happening in our nation right now. As Christ followers, we need to look at the world around us and see the thousands of opportunities that God has set before us so that we could be responding to that and to be lights in this world with our friends, with our families, in our neighborhoods, with our coworkers, with our classmates, and wherever part that our lives touches. Maybe God has called us to these places for such a time as this. And that is the call of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And so my call to you today is to step up and rise to the occasion just like Esther did. It's time for us to step up in our personal pursuits of God. You guys, that is where this begins. It begins with us on our knees before God, humbly in submission to him, living lives that are being refueled and stabilized and grounded on our relationships with Jesus Christ. It's time for us to step up in how we love others in big ways, in bold ways. The church should be leading the charge in love. It's time for us to step up in how we share our faith. You guys, there is no message greater than the gospel in this time. It has to go out. It's time for us to step up in how we fight against personal sin issues in our lives. There's not enough time in their days, guys, for us to keep on getting distracted by junk. And I'm preaching to myself here, guys. We have to put sin to death. We have to not compromise. We have to say, you know what? There's more important things on the table. There's more life to live than this sin stuff. We got to put that down so that we can be laser focused on the mission of the King. It's time for us to step up as we step out into a hurting nation and we work to bring peace and that harvest of righteousness that James was talking about. It's time for the church to step up. We don't need more politics in this world. We need more Jesus in this world. And the way that we are meant to share him is by living out our faith boldly in the world around us, by loving big, by telling others the good news, and being his ambassadors. And so today I ask you to stand with me, to stand if your heart this morning is to be a bright spot in this world, to share Christ's love and truth with those around you, to go against the grain, to not join into this toxicity, but to join into the work of the kingdom. And if that's your heart this morning, I would encourage you to literally stand up to your feet right now and say, yes, that is something that I want to be a part of in this world. And so we're going to finish this service with one more song. And we're going to take some time to sing to God and to declare this to God together, to trust in him and tell him that we're going to serve him with our lives in this world.
foundation, a rock, the only solid ground. The nations rise and fall.
That's right.
Kingdoms once strong, now shaken. We trust forever in your name, in the name of Jesus. We trust the name of Jesus.
You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious.
In all your wisdom, in love and justice, you will reign, and every knee will bow.
That's right.
We bring our expectations. Our hope is anchored in your name, the name of Jesus.
We trust.
Oh, we trust the name of Jesus.
You reign. And it is a joy and a blessing that we get to leave this room today and go and be Christ in our flesh, God, to be your ambassadors, to live that out, God. And so, Lord, I pray right now as we close our service, Lord, that you would fill us with your spirit, that you would empower us for the work that you're calling us to do, Lord, and that we would say yes, and we would go boldly, and we would be the men and women of God that you are calling us to be in our neighborhoods, in our nations, around the world, in this place, God. We're all about you. Lead us and guide us, direct us, because God, you reign, and there's nothing we want to do more than serve our King, God. We thank you for this time this morning. We say this in your Son's name. Amen. Church family, thank you guys for joining us. Hope this was a good moment for you to connect with our Lord. If you guys are looking for prayer right now, I encourage you, if you're here live, to head out these doors, head to the right. There's a prayer room. We'd love to have some people there that would love to pray with you as well. If you're online, you can send your prayer request in to prayer@westgatechapel.org. Great way to share your prayer request with our team here at the church. I want to encourage you guys on your way out, there's some offering baskets. If you'd like to give back to the Lord in that regard, feel free to drop that off. And at our website, westgatechapel.org, you can find online giving there as well. You guys, let's go be the hands and feet of Jesus. See you next week.